going to get right into the ministry of the word. And so we'll ask you to turn to the book of John, chapter 14. Amen. John, chapter 14. Title of the message, God, I Need Help. Amen. Now I can look at you and tell you you need help. And you can look at me and say, you need it worse than I do. No. God is the one who helps, comes alongside to help, and that's what the Holy Spirit means, the comforter. Parakletos, meaning one called alongside to help. And so, while we faced uncertainties of our day, we surely need God's help. Amen. I'm glad that God didn't leave us without help. He sent His Holy Spirit to help us. Praise the Lord. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's notice verse 14, same chapter. Let's just go to verse 16. That's where we are. Yeah. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, helper. It's translated counselor, helper, comforter. They're all correct translations. That He may abide with you forever. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just anoint your servant, God, to speak the truth. Touch people's hearts and lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God, I need help. And I'm not going to make this a political sermon at all. You've heard enough politics for the last however long it's been year that you need to hear something of truth, the word of God. I can't help what's happened. I voted, you voted, but anyway, God is still in charge. Praise the Lord. But here in the writer, in John, he's encouraging us to look to the Lord Jesus for all things, and we do. And this verse is quoted many times. I've quoted it many times in funerals, but it's not just a funeral quotation. It's for all of us today. Amen. And so, when Jesus says here, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me, and you say, well, there's many things in our day that are troubling of the heart, troubling of the mind, and yes, America is in troubling and is in trouble. It needs God's, needs revival desperately. We know that. Amen. But Jesus said to the individual believer, He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27 tells us that. Okay, so Jesus did not want the disciples to be troubled. Jesus said these words just prior to His going to the cross, where He would suffer the greatest, the most cruel death in means of execution that mankind, carnal mankind, ever invented. That was crucifixion. And so Jesus could talk to His disciples. He knew that the Father was with Him and He was with the Father. But He knew He would have to undergo a suffering and shame and bear the guilt and the shame of sins that He never committed, for He never committed one, but you and I did, and therefore He would be judged on the cross for my sin and yours. And there He would give His life as atonement for our sins, and His blood, perfect blood, pure blood, sinless blood would be poured out as He poured out His soul into death on the cross for you and I. And so Jesus said this just prior to going to the cross. He told His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. And yet, our nation, our world today is troubled. We hear troubling news daily. We hear of murders. We hear of conflict. We hear of wars and strife everywhere. Amen. And there are wars and strife, and it's the history of the planet that we live on. And there's always been wars. There's always been strife. You get more than one person together, you get two people together, they're not going to agree on everything. I don't care how perfect you think you are. And so, there's been war and strife on every hand. Amen. And so, there is war and there's strife with spiritual views that are ungodly and unbiblical in our society? How could Jesus say this when he was about to take the load of sin, my sin and yours, upon himself, and take upon himself the shame that sin brings, yet he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Man. And so, Lord, and I'll tell you today, God, I need your help. And I think we can all say that if we're honest. But Jesus, God has promised to every believer, John 14 and 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he'll give you help. He will give you another helper, comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Amen. In a world full of lies, in a society full of lies, and people telling lies everywhere, the Holy Spirit is a Spirit of truth. Amen. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless or orphans. I will come to you." He won't leave you alone. Amen. He'll be with you. And so I need God's help. And these are God's promises to the believer. And God has chosen to give his church all things that they need. And everything is an act of God's grace. Everything that's given is of God. Amen. And God gave eternal life. God gave sacrifice, atonement for sin. God gave eternal life through the resurrection of his Son from the dead. God gives you peace to walk in an unpeaceful world. Everything good and perfect comes from God. As a matter of fact, James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." And I'm glad that God is good. He is good all the time. And all the good and perfect gifts come from him. And God is good and God is perfect. And God has not left us alone and will not leave you alone. Amen. And all the fruit of the Spirit are eternal, I believe. Amen. Because God the Holy Spirit is eternal. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." God loves us eternally, not just when we behave the way that our neighbor thinks we should. But God loves us. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. God's given us everlasting joy, unspeakable and full of glory, the song says. Amen. God gives us peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is long-suffering. I'm glad that he is. He had to give up a long time ago on all of us. God is kindness. God is goodness. God is faithfulness. God is gentleness. God has self-control. He wants you to have self-control. He says the fruit of the Spirit. He does give that. Amen. And so all these things are eternal. And because they are the fruit that God gives. Amen. And God meant for us to bear spiritual fruit as well. And so, the Word of God says here, "Let not your heart be troubled." You believe in God. Let's notice that for a moment. Believe in God, Jesus. Believe in the Creator of the universe. He is the one we can believe in. And we have to believe what he says. Everybody looks for somebody or something to believe in. And it all becomes disappointing when you realize you can't fully trust mankind fully. You say, "Well, I trust my wife or I trust my husband." Yes, you can. But they're wrong sometimes. Let me make it personal. We're wrong sometimes. I got several female amens. Okay. But God is greater than all things. We believe in God, that God is greater. God is greater than all political wars. We need to believe that God is greater than your present and your future. And we just need to believe that God is greater than whatever we'll face. Believe in God. Amen. "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." There may be things you may not be able to overcome, but I can tell you that Christ in you has overcame it already. Amen. He's more powerful. He's living. His word is living and powerful. Praise God. The Bible tells us, and it's a familiar passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your steps." Praise the Lord. I'm thankful we can trust in the Lord. You believe in God, believe also in me. Praise the Lord, not me, Jesus. The disciples would undergo great trial as Jesus was going away. He would be resurrected from the dead, and he would ascend back into heaven. And if you can imagine this, God in the flesh, Jesus, had walked with them for 3 years, the disciples. They saw his miracles, they listened to his wonderful words of hope and love and life, but they needed help from what they would face. And they would be saying, God, help me. Man. And Jesus promised help, divine help. Jesus said, I am going away, and where I'm going, you can't come, but I'm going away, but I have prayed that the Father would send you another comforter, meaning one of the same kind, same power, equal. Amen. That would be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. It's not something you get. It's not just speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. Amen. In verse 14, it proves that. Of, you know, I will pray the Father, Jesus said. I will pray the Father. You have Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit to give you another comforter. Praise the Lord. So we have the Trinity very easily explained there. And so God promised divine help. Help for the disciples who would witness Jesus' death on the cross. Help for the church that would, after Christ was risen from the dead, amen, and the church would be established. And God, the day of the Pentecost would come, the Spirit of God would fall upon 120 in the upper room, and the revival would start, amen, renewal, people would be saved, and touched. God would touch people's life and change people's hearts, and it wouldn't be easy, but they would not be alone. God would be there. Believe in God. Amen. And there's help for the believer today. We are not alone. We have divine help. You're a child of God if you've invited Christ in your heart. If you're not, if you haven't, you need to. Amen. And the Bible says, fear not, many times in Scripture. As a matter of fact, God says to the believer, Romans chapter 8, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. My friend, children of God, that doesn't give us a place to boast that I'm better and bigger than everybody else. You're not. Amen. You're just somebody that God saved and God had mercy on. And the reason I'm saved today and the reason you're saved today is because God had mercy on my soul and on yours and looked beyond our sin and saw our need and provided means of atonement for you and I. And therefore, we can call ourselves children of God by faith. My friend, the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I want to tell you, we have a wonderful future ahead of us. I don't care if you're 10 or 110. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've got a wonderful eternity ahead. God has planned for you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Believe in God. Believe in him for the future. Promise of a great future is there for us. I worked for a company one time before I went into the ministry, and I went to work for that company, and they told us that, you know, the future of your future here looks very secure. The oil field was going strong, and we were a manufacturing company that would sit in a machinist that made parts for oil field, butterfly valves and wing unions and other things. So we're a machine shop, and they said, your future looks good here, so just relax, have a good time, enjoy this job. But just a few months later, the bottom fell out. About a year later, the bottom fell out of the oil industry. People got laid off, and it was not a bright future as promised. And the people that believed Christ here, and the church was started, their future would be one of persecution. They would experience seeing people die for their faith, but yet God hadn't changed. God would be with them. God would walk them through every step. And it didn't seem like it was good the day when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was taken. He was stoned to death, but even in his dying hour, he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I tell you, the grace of God was sufficient. God's strength is made perfect in Stephen's weakness. He called on God. The God that he served, the Jesus that had saved him, was still real, still same, still there. He hadn't been abandoned. Believe God for a future. Man. And you and I can believe God for now and for the days that are ahead. I do not know what will happen. I can't predict the future. There's some people that say they can, but usually they're wrong. But God knows the future, and God knows everything. He knows what's going to happen, what's about to happen, what we're afraid that will happen that never does happen many times. But God promises in Scripture that He gives us hope. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, quoted many times, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." That's what God thinks of us, thinks thoughts of peace and not of evil. God has no plan for evil to happen to you. Man, evil happens to people when they turn away from God, and that's all that's left is evil. But God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. And so, to give you thoughts of peace and of evil, not of peace, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Amen. We're a people looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful hope to look forward to, praise God. Not something that we just, perhaps it'll happen. Not that kind of hope, but a certain hope that is steadfast and sure to the end. And the people that Jesus speaks to here, and to us and to them, that their future would be eternal life. They would go through persecution and trial, but in the end, they would be in heaven with their Savior forever. And the writer here says that he has a place prepared for us. And he does. And we like to concentrate on this verse because it makes us think about, sadly, about worldly wealth sometimes. You know, my mansion's going to be better than yours. Mine's bigger. Yeah, we go through that. I don't think there's any truth to that. But it does say, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." That's a promise of God. And there's two places prepared that I read of in Scripture. And one is a place you don't want to go, and that's hell. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 25:41 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And so people that reject Christ, reject God's offer of salvation, they fall into that category as well as the devil and his angels. They'll be forever separated from God. It's a place prepared, really, for the devil and his angels. You don't want to go to that place. But God has a place prepared also for the believer. God has an eternal dwelling plan for the believer, for the Creator. And it is a place of perfect beauty, a place where sin, evil, and the devil doesn't exist. God has a new Jerusalem for you and I prepared. Many believe that the new Jerusalem will set down, coming down from God out of heaven, will set up on the new earth. Okay? And that's what John saw in Revelation 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle, dwelling place of God, is with men, and God will be with them, and God will be their God, and they shall be his people. And I heard a voice saying, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And John wrote, and they will happen." Praise God. There's a better place, a better time, a place prepared for you. My friend, God has chosen to ask you to spend his eternity with him. And to spend our eternity with God is awesome. We'll learn things that we never learned here. We'll see things we never saw here as we begin to learn eternally the eternal God who never began and will never end. What all has God done in eternity past? It'll take God an eternity to answer that question. But if you've been given eternal life, it'll be a time of forever learning about the grace and the goodness of God. You don't want to miss it for anything the world has to offer. Amen. And so Jesus said here, "I go to prepare a place for you." Amen. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will, not maybe, not perhaps, but I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Believe in Him for a future and believe in His return. Last, this is a promise we can believe. Praise the Lord. Heard a fellow preaching here a while back, if you call it that. He said that he didn't believe in the rapture. Didn't believe he was going in the rapture. Didn't believe the rapture is going to happen. Said, we're just not rapture people. We just don't believe there is a rapture. And after I listened to him a little while, I didn't think he was going in the rapture either. Because those that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. But Jesus came the first time to redeem us from sin and pour out his soul into death on the cross for us and pay for sin and take the punishment for my sins and yours upon himself. He took the death penalty for sin so that we might be forgiven. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And that is a paycheck for living a life of sin and abandoning and rejecting God's offer of salvation. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's a second part to that verse, aren't you? The gift of God. God has given eternal life. Matter of fact, God has given everything for you. God gave heaven's greatest treasure, His only begotten Son, that you might say, be saved and born again and not go to hell, but go to heaven instead. Amen. That there may be atonement made for your sins and for my sins. Thank God for it. That message never gets old to me. I praise the Lord. I thank Him every day that my sins have been atoned for. Praise God. And God has cleansed us, made us whiter than the driven snow. Isaiah says it. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what God does for us through His Son. And I believe surely one day the heavens will unfold and Jesus will appear and call His church up. And He will say, as He did to John, Revelation 4:1, He said to John, come up here and I will show you what must take place hereafter. After the churches. Amen. And so we know that He will appear a second time. And the disciples were given this promise after the death, after His resurrection, after Jesus showed Himself alive after His passion with many infallible proofs, being seen of over 500 brethren at once, witnessed the resurrected Christ. And then Jesus was His time to go back to be with the Father. And He did. The Bible says, Acts 1:9, while they beheld, He, Jesus, was taken up. And while they beheld, a cloud received Him out of their sight. And as they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, two men in white clothing stood by who also said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go. My friend, I am looking for this same Jesus. I'm looking for the same Jesus that through the Father created the heavens and the earth, looking for the same Jesus that made atonement possible, that made the cross and the blood to atone for sins possible, that made eternal life possible. Amen. And I'm looking for this same Jesus that saved me, that saved you, and He will come again in the clouds of heaven one day. Amen. He'll receive His church away. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, bring comfort to one another with these words. My friend, we've got it all. Let's look for this same Jesus. Let's live for this same Jesus. I can't help what the world does. I can't help who's elected, who's not elected. But I can tell you one thing. We've elected Christ to be Senior and Lord, God and King of our lives. And this same Jesus is coming back for you and I. Amen. Jesus is a powerful. Amen. He's coming back in the clouds of heaven. I believe it'll be a powerful thing when He returns. Praise God. Hallelujah. God help me. He will help me. He has helped me. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. I believe one of the great things that is lacking in the church today is the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. I understand when you're saved, you're born again, you're birthed of the Spirit, and God's Spirit indwells within you. But there is a second blessing of that, praise God, is the overflowing of the Spirit, that the disciples who were already saved and already born again of the Spirit, already indwelt by the Spirit, but God told them, said, you need something more. I will pray the Father, and He shall send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And they prayed, and the fire of God fell in the second chapter of Acts. Amen. They were all filled with the Spirit and all spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Not as some preacher gave the utterance, but as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. And so God says today, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe instead. God, I need your help, but I choose to believe. And you can choose to believe today. And He can help you wherever you're at. And I do not know where you're at. I don't know what you faced in life or what you might face tomorrow or the next day. But I know a God who knows everything. And He can help you walk. He can give you strength and grace for each thing you have to walk through. Amen. He can give you victory. You don't have to be sad, sour, and defeated. But you can be victorious and worship and have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Because you know that our God, He's never absent but always present. Praise the Lord. God, I need you.